Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technologies, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Have you recently had a close encounter? Get ready for...
Science.
Welcome to Sci Friday on Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us, our science advisor, my best friend, and the author of Blood Lies, Book One of the Red Wing Saga, my wife, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Doing swell.
I had to do some kind of a hand thing because more and more of these shows have some sort of hand thing in them.
That's true.
People are wondering what it is we're signaling.
Next time
about.
We have to do the fist bump.
No, I don't like that one.
That's kind of a...
Yeah. We're too old for
it's
that.
It's not
we're
age
too
appropriate.
Old and not
that's
nearly
right.
As cool.
That's right. Well, thank you to Caleb and Kyrie Loya.
Aww.
Their mom Itzy sent that in.
That is so cute. Love those little, pigtails or whatever you want to call them. My mother always called them dog tails, which makes no sense because dog ears maybe, but she always called them dog tails.
Yeah. Well, awfully cute. And once again, we've got children who are going to be very, very difficult to eclipse, shall we say, when it comes to
that's a good word for it.
Running our first half of the year compilation of science show openers.
Probably mid to late July, you're going to see that video that you can vote for your favorite ones. We'll have an adult and a children's category.
Yes.
Maybe a pet category, don't know. We'll have to see how many pet entries we have. Because we want to make it fair, honestly.
Yes.
Put peers against peers, so to speak.
Right. And make it entertaining, but also equitable and just and fair.
Yeah. Yes. We have a special guest, by the way, on Sci Friday today, and we're going to talk about a trip that Derek and Josh and I are going to be taking very soon. We're taking Josh. Why are we taking Josh?
Well, because his titanium hip gives us, somebody with superpowers. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Make sure he brings his cape.
That's it.
And his leotards.
And by the way, that inspired today's opening statement, which is from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, as we head to Roswell for the 70th anniversary of the UFO Festival, the UFO crash.
70 years. That's an interesting number that keeps popping up because next May, you and I are going to Israel for the 70th anniversary of the Israel becoming a state.
Independence, right. Declared independence in May 14th of 1948.
We will be in Jerusalem on that very day, on May 14th.
Right. That is really remarkable.
So more about that a week from today.
Right.
We interviewed Aaron Lipkin of Lipkin Tours, who's arranging for everything. And it's exciting. I'm just so looking forward to this. Really briefly, though, before we get to the interview with Guy, we need to talk about something that took place yesterday. As you're watching this on Friday, this took place yesterday, the 14th, Thursday. It was a shooting in a ballpark in Alexandria, Virginia.
Actually, Wednesday it took place.
Oh, that's right.
Wednesday
that's
morning.
Right. Today is Wednesday that we're recording this. Yeah. Forget what I said. I don't even know where I am.
Shortly after 7 a.m. In Alexandria, or actually the town of Del Rey.
Yeah.
Congressmen, Republicans and Democrats, were basically practicing for an annual event that's been taking place since 1909.
Yeah.
It's a baseball game.
National pastime.
Right.
Baseball.
Right. And reportedly a gunman asked a congressman from South Carolina, are those Republicans or Democrats out there? And when he identified them as Republicans on the field at the time, the gentleman took out a rifle and began shooting.
Yeah.
And according to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, some 50 shots before...
50 to 60 shots is what he heard.
Capitol Police were able to neutralize the shooter. He was taken to hospital. About five people were shot, the most serious being the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise of Louisiana.
And the shooter is dead now.
He died a few
minutes ago as we're recording this. I'm looking at the live tweets. One really interesting thing about this is that senators and representatives do not have their own watch
security,
team, a security team, unless you are very high up. The majority whip, Scalise,
yes,
had a team with him because the majority whip gets
a team. Yeah, he's the third ranking Republican in Washington, mm-hmm, D.C.
Yes, so he had a team with him. Only because those police officers were with him,
right,
did he, was there anyone there to help?
Yeah, and Senator Paul said that that basically saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
The thing that's amazing, you mentioned tweets, is the response on social media. It seems that in the America of the 21st century, that your politics is justification for being shot.
Social media, I think this anonymity, even though, and many people on social media use a pseudonym, they're not,
right,
using their real names. There's one here calling themselves something gnome. I won't tell you the whole tweet, the whole name, but many people on here are taking radical views, vicious,
yes,
violent views, and it doesn't matter who was shot or which side you're on.
Right.
If someone is injured, you need to take the side of the injured person. If it were a Democrat who had been injured, we would be just as upset.
Condemning the violence and,
yes,
the attack on human life. The internet and social media are dehumanizing us. The enemy is part of the enemy's plan to dehumanize,
yeah,
us and detach us from God's creation.
Yes.
To desensitize us toward violence, the shedding of blood, which God expressly forbid.
Yeah, it's something that I talked about in a chapter I wrote for the I Predict book, and that is that we are already being changed. It's called the hybrid age, the rise of the hybrid age. But the fact is, we're already being hybridized through social media. Our minds are being warped.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, it's wrong.
Yeah,
it's wrong.
It is so wrong.
Yeah.
Well, as I said earlier, Guy Malone got to speak with us. Do you want to take a break first and then,
yeah,
come
let's
back?
Do it. Let's do it. Take a quick break. The 70th anniversary of the Roswell UFO crash, and every year on that anniversary, they have the Roswell UFO Festival. The coordinator of one of the conferences challenging the semi-official story,
mm-hmm,
about what crashed in the desert. Guy Malone, straight ahead on Sci-Friday.
Jack the Ripper's dark deeds actually began long before 1888. And it wasn't a mere man who committed the crimes, but a demon in league with devilish men, a group of men called Red Wing. Only one small group of valiant men and women stand against this evil, a group that place their faith in Christ alone. And they protect a secret of blood that Red Wing hopes to use to usher in the reign of Antichrist and the end of day.
Red Wing is called Red Wing because they want to kill the church. They,
mm-hmm,
want to forever stop Christ from coming back. So it's the Holy Spirit, the dove,
mm-hmm,
with a murdered, has been slain,
yeah,
a wounded,
mm,
dove. Ultimately, we still have to remember that the one who is in control is God Almighty, and we have to go to Him, and we have to suit up every time we go out. I like writing historical fiction because I like to teach spiritual warfare in,
mm-hmm,
novels through real events, because I believe that behind these real events, there are spirits moving the
yeah,
pieces,
mm-hmm,
on the chessboard.
Absolutely.
Imagine a supernatural thriller that brings the cutting-edge Christian research of Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, and L.A. Marzulli alive through the skill of a master storyteller. Set in Victorian England during Jack the Ripper's reign of terror, the new novel by Sharon K. Gilbert asks the question, what if the Ripper wasn't caught because he wasn't human? And what if his gruesome work was part of a ritual to bring forth the Antichrist? Skywatch TV is proud to offer Blood Lies, Book 1 of the Red Wing Saga, the first in a new series by Skywatch TV's Sharon K. Gilbert. Blood Lies tells the story of a valiant group of men and women who stand against the ancient enemy of mankind with nothing but a prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to protect them. Plus, when you order Blood Lies from Skywatch TV, we'll also include 2 additional books to prepare you for the real spiritual battles that all Christians face. Lucifer's War by Linda Rios Brook, a historical examination of Satan and the demon gods who rebelled against their creator. And People, Pigs, and Principalities, true accounts of angels and demons by Deliverance Minister Don Dickerman. over a $30 value absolutely free when you purchase Blood Lies for only $19.95 in this special offer exclusively at the SkyWatch TV store. Blood Lies, a thrilling account of spiritual warfare based on biblical truth, featuring characters you'll grow to love. The Blood Lies special offer available now at the SkyWatch TV store.
Welcome back to Sci-Friday on SkyWatch TV with Sharon Gilbert. I'm Derek Gilbert, and we need to cut right to this. A little information about what you'll expect from Roswell as we attend next week, as we welcome Guy Malone to Sci-Friday.
The alien stranger.
Guy, welcome to Sci-Friday.
Hey, it's great to be on with you. I look forward to seeing you really soon, too, brother.
We're excited about the trip. In fact, friends of ours are now getting jealous, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about this conference. It seems to me, based on the speaker lineup and the topics of conversation, that you're challenging the official mythology of the Roswell UFO crash.
You're definitely right. And boy, you better be careful with that word mythology around here, Derek. I used that once accidentally in front of in the presence of one of the wrong people a couple years ago, one of the main authors of the Roswell lore. And he was quick to call me out on it. So it is based on a historical incident that leads people to believe in the alien explanation. But yeah, you're right. Modern challenges to the extraterrestrial hypothesis is the actual title of the conference and the theme. It's a tough nut around here to peddle.
Well, our mutual friend, Dr. Michael S. Heiser, will be one of the featured speakers at your conference, and he will be talking about the ancient astronaut and ancient alien theme. Two of his presentations deal with the claims originated by Zechariah Sitchin, the late Zechariah Sitchin. What is the link between the Roswell crash and the ancient aliens?
You know, actually very little to none, because I'm not just challenging the popular mythology of the Roswell crash. Most of us involved in this conference actually believe that the Roswell crash was just a man-made event. It's almost very mundane in the sense of compared to spirituality or ancient religious texts or anything. But the theme of challenges to the extraterrestrial hypothesis means that, yeah, we're examining the Roswell incident. Myself and Nick Redfern are doing talks on that. And some of my view was shaped almost 15 years ago by Dr. Heiser's original work on Operation Paperclip and stuff he mentioned in the book, his famous novel now, The Facade.
Mm-hmm.
But the broader theme of the extraterrestrial hypothesis is there's abduction reports, modern and ancient, that are popularly attributed to extraterrestrials. There's historical records, like you mentioned, Zechariah Sitchin's work, that people say, oh, I read this, or there's this monument, there's this, that, the other thing, therefore aliens. And we're looking at it specifically to the ancient aliens talk. Mike is kind of challenging the History Channel view of ancient aliens. He's not doing the full Ancient Aliens Debunked project that he worked on with Chris White, but the idea itself that aliens are the only or the proper explanation for ancient artwork, ancient sightings, that's going to be challenged. And of course, Mike is definitely famous for challenging the work of Zechariah Sitchin, mm-hmm. who interprets so much of ancient history to be the result of aliens. Mike's going to provide an alternative to that view as well.
Hmm. And Sharon and I mentioned on last week's Sci-Friday that I saw your presentation in Nashville, the End of Days conference, Last Days conference back in 2011, was eye-opening for me, because the message that we get from pop culture and from programs like Ancient Aliens is that, we don't know what happened, but it couldn't have been human, thus aliens. And you challenged that with some really compelling evidence that this was a human experiment that went wrong. Without giving too much away, if it wasn't an extraterrestrial craft that landed in the desert near Roswell, what could it have been?
In a simple phrase, a man-made craft. Quite honestly, there's one. I don't challenge the idea. I don't think people are lying. I mean, it's historic. I live here. I have off and on for over 15 years now, or for almost 15 years, that there are witnesses that this huge incident in 1947, Roswell, happened. It was covered up. People were threatened with their lives if they opened their mouths about it. It was serious. Something was being covered up. Something really did happen. And so the question becomes, what happened? And a lot of the people then were simply not aware. I don't mind giving a little bit away, of course, because it's a very visual presentation anyway. Can't do it justice without my PowerPoints. But one of the things to people are aware of nowadays that they weren't decades back was the Nazi connection of Germans, World War II, Adolf Hitler. They were building alternative flying machines that were just, they'd never got them in mass production. They couldn't win the war or defeat the Allies with them in time by the close of the war in 45. But there are prototypes, there are drawings, and there are over 100 scientists who worked on these amazing flying ships that if you simply compare what I do with PowerPoints, and it's a very selling argument, compare the visuals, the prototypes of what the Germans were working on in 1942, 1944, and then include the fact that Operation Paperclip moved over 100 German scientists, Nazis, who would have been executed for war crimes most likely, but we secretly, against the president's orders at the time, brought them into the United States and put them in military installations, including New Mexico and Texas. Their goal, their purpose was make these flying machines real for us. So simply by taking the credible eyewitnesses of the Roswell incident, what they drew, here's what I saw, here's the wreckage we cleaned up. Take the Ken Arnold sightings that were famous in that same era, 1947, of what he saw and drew, and then you compare it side by side to what the Germans were working on in 1944 and 1945, and it's almost like to a man. You can almost hear a pin drop. Shoe in, case closed.
It's really compelling.
These are the same things. And again, you have to see it in photographs and in PowerPoints to really sell it. But once it's presented, you know, three quarters of the people just game over.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about how viewers can actually watch it, even if they can't get to Roswell here in just a couple of minutes. Some of the other speakers, Jack Brewer, whose name I've heard, but I'm not familiar with his work, author of the book The Grays Have Been Framed, talks about the work of the U.S. intelligence community and perhaps other intelligence communities around the world in perpetuating this idea that it was an extraterrestrial craft or that the existence of E.T. is a real thing. What purpose would the government have had or intelligence communities have had in trying to continue this lie after 1947?
I'm so glad you brought him up because of all the people that are coming, I think he is the one I'm most excited, most interested in seeing because I have not heard him out yet. I like saying that when I do these conferences, almost every year I get to throw in a wild card player, wild card speaker or something. And to me, he's the great unknown to me. I've only scanned his material, again, on Dr. Heiser's recommendation months back. On his recommendation to follow his blog, I started following his material and invited him. But it's not just the 1947 incident. For Jack's work and even for the conference, it's just keep in mind there's a whole phenomena of both, again, the ancient stuff, but the modern last century of abduction reports or even half century. And his primary premise with documentation, with notes, is that the CIA, with programs like MK Ultra, mind control, hypnosis, they have basically diverted attention, that they've experimented on human beings without their knowledge or consent. They've practiced mind control techniques simply for the, and one of the results is they're blaming a lot of things on aliens or just letting the UFO community, you might say, letting the witnesses or the experiencers attribute a lot of their experiences to aliens because it keeps people from looking into the real, even if they're horrific explanations. Like, yes, different portions of our government have experimented on humans. They are doing mind control techniques. They are influencing the public towards a belief system that is not true. But if everybody's looking for aliens, if, as you see in the UFO research community, people are arguing their different alien hypotheses about where they really come from. Oh, Pleiadians are serious. You know, they're not looking towards the home ground. But he has some compelling work that just basically suggests the U.S. portions, factions within the U.S. government have created a meme of aliens and alien abduction through, you'd call it cover memories, screensaver memories, hypnosis, which covers up the human angle of the experimentation being done on some people. Scary.
A gentleman who's written quite a bit about Roswell, Nick Redfern, whose name you mentioned, has written his most recent book, The Roswell UFO Conspiracy. He's got Body Snatchers in the Desert, which is about 10 years old now. But in between those two, he wrote a very interesting book called Final Events. And he actually quoted and interviewed you and Dr. Heiser for that book, in which he disclosed the existence of a government agency, unofficial, multi-departmental working group calling itself the Collins Elite, which reached the conclusion that UFOs are demonic, but that the proper response is to put America back under Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, in order to save our souls from these soul-sucking demonic UFOs. I'm looking forward to meeting Nick and talking with him. What do you expect him to bring to the conference?
You gave up a lot of it in a good way, in a teaser way, not in a spoiler way.
Okay, good.
And it's an interesting angle that to emphasize is that Nick is not a Christian. He doesn't have an agenda to grind, or he's not pushing the demonic hypothesis because it's his religious view. That's part of the fun of this conference, or the strategy, I guess, or the theme, is that I've got three Christian speakers and then three non-Christian speakers. And with Nick's book, Final Events, you're right, Joe Jordan's also included in that.
Right.
One of the speakers. He did it. It's impressive. Nick, for a secular UFO researcher and government archives, he is very open-minded to points of view that he's unfamiliar with or even that he doesn't agree with. And I'll tell you one thing. He makes it plain that he does not believe the demonic view of UFOs. But he presents research, government documents, witnesses that have come forward to him that participated in this that present, as you said, a government study did result in the conclusion that this was all demonic. So without pushing that view himself, Nick is able to present that historically that really did happen. Mm-hmm. That is a view, maybe not the only, or maybe it is, it's a view that our government came up with in a private study. But to release that information would, of course, incite panic, perhaps. And then all of a sudden you've got the government on the side of endorsing one religion all
right,
of a sudden.
Right, which a lot of atheists and skeptics... Atheists and skeptics found very alarming. I remember when the book came out, there were a lot of skeptics who were pointing to this and saying, you see, the Christians are trying to take over the government and take over the world. And the theology behind that, if the Collins elite truly exists and this is not just another government psyop, is really whacked, which is a point that you and Joe and Mike Heiser made in the book. And speaking of Joe, we just have a couple of minutes left here. Talk about Joe and CE4 Research Group and how he views the UFO phenomenon.
Sure. He's probably one of the best-known Christians. His findings have been quoted in, I think, 14, 15 books now, that simply as a non-Christian researcher, working for Mutual UFO Network, he investigated alien abduction accounts, and cutting to the chase, he'll tell the longer story, that people were stopping their alien abduction accounts. They were paralyzed. Their bodies couldn't move. The abduction community says it's superior technology from other star systems and advanced races. But some people were saying, Jesus help me, or even learned through education, in the name of Jesus. And the abduction stopped. It is still, a decade and a half more after he's been in this field, the only documented way of terminating alien abductions in progress while it's happening, or even especially more important, as a life pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So he will once again be giving his testimony, of course. You've done a good job covering all the speakers. Thank you very much.
Well, do this after long enough, and you eventually get the hang of it, or you find another way to earn a living. People, getting to Roswell may be a bit of a trick, as I learned in trying to find flights from Springfield, Missouri to Roswell here over the last couple of days. We made it. We'll be there, God willing. But for people who can't travel for the festival between June 29th and July 2nd, how can they watch this from the comfort of their own homes?
Kind of you to mention. I'm as an experiment, first time I've done it, but I'm paying the local cable company to install a live feed to where you can actually log on. Everything I'm talking about is promoted under the one simple website, RoswellUFOFestival.com. I'm going to have a live feed going out of the four-day conference. We'll be recording DVDs, which we've done before. Eventually, it should all make it onto YouTube for free viewing. But yeah, if you want to join in live, those 4 days, hopefully just to cover the cost of the speakers, their meals and stuff like that, doing a low price, $25, 4 days for a live feed of the event.
That's
a deal.
I'm glad
you're coming. It's hard to get here. The local news is reporting 50,000 people expected to attend the Roswell Festival this year.
Well, it's the 70th annual, so you know, I guess for people who believe in the Bible and are cognizant, aware of biblical numerology, the 70th anniversary is significant. In that 70 years ago, a lot of important things were happening, like the reunification of Jerusalem, Israel's Declaration of Independence, and so forth. Or the reunification of Jerusalem, excuse me, that was 50 years ago. 70 years ago was when Jerusalem declared its independence, 1948. But a lot of things, you know, the Arnold UFO sighting, of course, the Roswell crash.
The Roswell crash itself, yeah. So.
The Aztec New Mexico crash.
Really, it's a year and it's events that really shaped worldviews, belief systems.
It is.
And I think for the worse, in some sense, in the alien hypothesis, I'm just amazed that I'm getting the traction that I am to have a good group of speakers, some local support, believe it or not, and a lot of eyes and a lot of attendance on challenging the extraterrestrial hypothesis finally. It's never been done here in this manner. So.
And what's your hope for people who attend the conference or who log in through the live video stream? What do you hope they take away from the conference?
To actually find out that belief in aliens is the least likely explanation for all of the phenomena that the media and people are reporting as attributed, whether it's ancient texts, ancient artwork, whether it's abductions, UFO sightings, the Roswell incident. The media doesn't push it. The city of Roswell financially has one view that they benefit from, but people will find out there are incredibly viable, credentialed, and well-researched alternatives that actually work to disprove the alien hypothesis and provide other explanations that are that just ring true.
Well, we'll find out how successful the conference is by whether or not they run you out of town on a rail, the local Chamber of Commerce. So Guy Malone, the coordinator of the Modern Challenges to the Extraterrestrial Hypothesis Conference in Roswell. And we look forward to seeing you there very soon.
It'd be so good to see you again finally, brother.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We'll be, God willing, able to bring you Sci-Friday from Roswell, perhaps an Into the Multiverse episode from Roswell as well.
How perfect can that be?
Oh, absolutely perfect. Dr. Michael Heiser will be there.
And who doesn't want to see Josh Pack in his tights and his cape?
Yes, because, you know, he'll be in the costume contest. We're going to insist on that as part of his the itinerary.
We're his parents, so we can tell him what to do.
Exactly
anyway.
Right. Well, we thank you for watching as we keep watch. With Jared Gilbert, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Sci Friday on Skywatch TV.
Hard to hold back laughter so it doesn't pick up on
No, they should hear you laughing in the background.